God's Word, Psalm 46, and this is God's Holy Word. May we take it to heart this morning. The title says, "For the Choir Director, a Psalm of the Sons of Korah, set to Alamoth a song." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord, the God of Jacob, is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May he apply it in our hearts for his glory. What kinds of things shake your world? Well, over this last year, I think we've all been shaken by something that was very minute. A little virus has shaken the world. And we could never imagine something so small could shut down so many things. Schools, businesses, transportation, even nations have been shut down or closed off. And after 16 months, we're still not really fully back to normal. Maybe you've been shaken by other things. Maybe natural disasters, as we call them. Maybe you've lived through an earthquake or tornado or a flood. Maybe you have been shaken as you live through a major war, or perhaps a serious illness. Maybe you've lost a loved one and that shook your world. Maybe you lost your job. The reality is that at various points our lives will be shaken as we live on this earth. And that's because we live in a fallen world. Until Christ returns, there will be various events that threaten to destroy our peace of mind in our lives. And so where do we turn for comfort? Where do we turn for stability? Well, this psalm answers the question. Our sovereign God is our refuge. He's a refuge for all who trust in him. That's the basis for our hope. Our sovereign God is a refuge for all who trust in him. Many commentaries mention the connection between this psalm and Martin Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And certainly Martin Luther must have felt overwhelmed by the battle oftentimes. As he took his stand against the established church, there was just one church at that time, and that was the Roman church. As he was seeking to address the corruption that was there in that church of his day, upholding doctrines of grace, upholding the sole authority of Scripture, well, his life was threatened, and he was actually excommunicated for the heresy that they believed he was espousing. Yet he stood firm because his trust was in the Lord of hosts. And so this was a very special psalm to Martin Luther. I'm sure that this is the psalm that has provided comfort to you as well in your lives at various times as you faced trials, as you faced things that cause your world to be shaken. And that's because it is a reminder of God's sovereignty, of God's providence, as we just read from the Shorter Catechism this morning, that He is preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. And more particularly, that He loves His people and keeps His redeemed eternally. That's what this is telling us. The psalm is divided into three stanzas, and you see those stanzas marked off by a word, Selah. And it's a word that indicates probably just a pause in the music, an opportunity for contemplation. And so let us contemplate these inspired words of the Lord of hosts as we seek comfort during unsettling times in our world that we live in. The first thing that we see in this first stanza is the God of creation is our help in trouble. Our help in trouble. Some commentators suggest that this psalm was set in the days of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a king who did fear the Lord, king of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have a record of how Judah at that point was being threatened by a vast army of eastern kings. And those kings included the Ammonites and the Moabites. It was an overwhelming force that had gathered against God's people in Judah. And so the king, Jehoshaphat, cried out to the Lord, seeking help. And God answered his prayer for deliverance. He said through his prophet, Jehaziel, that the army was actually to go out and station themselves at a certain place. But this is the interesting part. That God would actually fight for them. They would not have to fight. They were to watch and see the deliverance of God that He would bring. And so when God's answer came, this answer to his prayer, to Jehoshaphat's prayer, that he would bring deliverance, Jehoshaphat and all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and they worshiped the Lord in response. And some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood and praised the Lord. Does that word Korahite ring a bell? Remember the title of the psalm? This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. And so that's why some attribute Psalm 46 to this historical setting. We don't know for sure. But nevertheless, in that context of King Jehoshaphat's day, God did give a great victory. He caused chaos among those eastern armies that had gathered against God's people so that they actually began fighting each other. And they were completely destroyed by one another. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 30 concludes, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around." God fought for his people. He delivered King Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel. Well, the words of this psalm picture for us God's protective care. When we think about a vast force bearing down upon our nation, threatening our homes, threatening our families, it's a terrifying thing. I don't think we've all really experienced that. Maybe if we lived through World War II, and I don't think any of us here maybe did that. But we really haven't experienced an army massing on our border, threatening to overtake. It's a terrifying thing. Maybe in some ways we can think about the coronavirus has been that kind of a threat, an enemy threatening our nation, our health, our life, social and economic stability. And we've experienced a lot of unrest. In fact, it was mentioned in the prayer time this morning that still exists in some of our cities. And yet this psalm reminds us that God is our refuge and strength. and a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. What's that word refuge mean? It means that He is our impenetrable fortress. He's our shelter, shelter from the elements. He's our protector. He's our healer. And He's our strength. He gives us strength to continue in the battle. He's our present help in trouble, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And this is our confident hope, despite the fact that the world seems to be flying apart at times when things are shaken around us. And at times, fear may well up within us. Anxiety may overwhelm us. In fact, in the night, we may be overwhelmed and not be able to sleep. In the day, when we turn on the news, all we hear are dismal predictions and dangers that threaten the world. But notice how verses 2 and 3 picture the worst thing that we can imagine. The greatest forces of nature, earthquake, storm, raging floodwaters. But in all of that upheaval, we will not be afraid. And why is that? Because we're tough, we have internal fortitude, we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps? No, the answer is because God is our refuge. And why is that a comfort? Because the one who is our refuge and our strength and our help is also the creator of the universe. The creator of the world. And think about, with respect to some of these troubles, the waters roaring and foaming that are referenced here in the psalm. Think about God being creator. And think about the days of creation. Let's look at the third day of creation. It was by His powerful word that He gathered the waters together, and the dry land appeared. We read in Genesis 1, God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered He called seas. See, this is the God who is our refuge. He made the world. He rules over creation. Notice how Isaiah 40, verse 12, pictures God's power as creator. We read there that He has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Any of you been to the ocean this summer on vacation? Maybe the Lake Michigan. But think of that. The waters in the hollow of His hand. And He's marked off the heavens by the span. That's just thumb to the little finger. The span. He's calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. We really can't fathom the awesome power of Creator God. It's by His same powerful word that He upholds all things. The same word that brought the world into existence is the same word that upholds creation. Hebrews 1:3 says of Jesus Christ, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Remember when Jesus did that with the disciples? Remember His powerful rebuke in the boat? By that word, He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples cried out, He awoke, rebuked the wind, the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. And so our God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all things as creator. He's promised to protect His people. If our faith rests in Him, we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. He's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our trouble. So that's the first stanza. But then secondly, we see the God of Jacob is in the midst of His people in verses 4-7. And here the emphasis turns from God as creator to God as redeemer. the Redeemer of His people. He's our covenant God. In contrast to the roaring waters of the sea, verse 4 describes a gentle flowing river that supplies the needs of God's people. Have you visited any rivers lately? We have a river that runs through South Bend and Elkhart, the St. Joe River. There's also the Elkhart River. When we lived in Casper for a summer, Casper, Wyoming, the North Platte River flowed through there, and that was the path that the Oregon Trail took through Nebraska to Wyoming and on to Oregon, and it was a beautiful oasis in the middle of arid country. That's the picture here, God supplying the needs of His people. In the Old Testament times, this brings to mind the fountain of Siloam outside of Jerusalem, which is mentioned in Isaiah 8. Isaiah used it to picture God's quiet, gentle care for His people. And we see a similar picture where in the Bible? At the very end of the Bible. Last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, of God's refreshing care for His people in the heavenly Jerusalem. We read, "Then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." See, the point of this picture that we have here in the psalm is that God is the supplier of life. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who sustains life. He gives peace and goodness for His people. He dwells among His people. In the Old Testament, this was in the temple. And in the New Testament, it's in the context of the Holy Spirit who's been poured out into our hearts. And as we gather as His church, He dwells in our midst. Jesus said in John 7, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And what did Jesus mean when he said that? He was referring to the Holy Spirit who would be given to all who believe in him. And so the city of God, his church, his redeemed people are secure in him. He will help her when morning dawns. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 remind us that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When the morning dawns, it reminds us that God's mercies never end. They're new every morning. And so although the nations rage and things seem topsy-turvy in the fury of the battle that we face, we shall not be moved. We will not be moved because the Lord is all-powerful. He's our Savior. And just as He brought the world into existence by His Word, He can just as easily silence the rebellion of the nations. So we have no reason to fear. Verse 7 is a refrain expressed here, and it's also, we see it again in verse 11. When we are tempted to fear, we need to hear that repeated. Maybe that's why God has it twice in this psalm, because we need to hear it repeated. And as we sing it, as we read it, as we meditate on it, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We need to think about the significance of that. The Lord of hosts. What does that picture? Pictures the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven serve as God's messengers for the preservation of His people. Remember the story of Elisha at Dothan when Ben-Hadad of Syria sent his army to capture the prophet? And Elisha's servant went out one morning and he saw the soldiers surrounding the city. Soldiers and chariots all around, and he hurried back to Elisha. He was terrified. But Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes to see the heavenly host that was protecting them. Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And his servant's eyes were open and he saw the chariots of fire, the heavenly hosts. And this is true for each one of God's redeemed children. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, what is the reference there? God of Jacob. What's that bringing to our minds? Reminds us, as I mentioned earlier, of God's covenant love, His covenant of grace. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one who saved Jacob the schemer and made his descendants a great nation. Paul says in Galatians 3:29, "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." See, the God of Jacob is our covenant God who saves all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And He keeps all His people, all that He saves, all that He enters into this eternal covenant with through the blood of His Son. He is our stronghold. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43 is a favorite passage of mine and one that emphasizes this covenant security. Verses 1 to 3 say, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Your Savior. Martin Luther, who battled discouragement and despair as he faced many dangers and many threats during the time of the Reformation, he said this regarding Psalm 46. "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends His church and His word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." The God of Jacob is our stronghold. That was a tremendous comfort to Martin Luther in a time when things were in turmoil in history. And that is a tremendous comfort for us today if we're in Christ. He will keep His redeemed people now and forever, eternally. That is our hope. Well, that leads us to the third stanza of this psalm. "The Lord of hosts will be exalted among the nations." Verses 8 through 11. And here we have the focus turning back to God's supremacy over this tumultuous world. Verse 8 calls us to consider the works of God. And this ought to be our pattern. Is this your pattern when you're feeling overwhelmed in the battle? As you're being threatened by the hostility of a world surrounding you, maybe as you're battling indwelling sin in your life, as you feel the assaults of the adversary, is this your pattern? We need to go back and we need to remember the biblical record of God's redemptive works. And we should go back also and reflect on God's marvelous works throughout our own lives, as He has saved us, as He has preserved us, as He's provided for us, and for the lives of other Christians. That's one of the blessings, by the way, of sharing testimonies. Do you share testimonies here in this congregation? Sharing testimonies, tremendous blessing. We just did an evangelism training study in our adult class previous 2 months. And one of the things that we had to learn to do was share kind of an evangelistic testimony that was about a 3-minute testimony. But in the process, we had all the members of the class, or a number of them, share their testimony each week. And what a blessing that was. What we are doing there is we're remembering the works of God. We're testifying to the power, the life-changing power of the living God. His faithfulness is to all generations. Elizabeth Elliot is one who testifies to God's care in times of trouble. She suffered the loss of not one, but 2 husbands. And her first husband, Jim Elliot, as you know, was killed by the Alca Indians as a missionary in Ecuador. They hadn't been married that many years. Left behind a daughter. Her second husband, Addison Leach, died after a long battle with cancer. And in sharing her experiences, she referred to this psalm, Psalm 46, and said how in the first shock of death, quote, everything that has seemed most dependable has given away. Mountains are falling. Earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to know that although all things seem to be shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. She went on to say that the most important thing to do at such times is to be still and to know that God is God. It comforts us to know His unchanging character and care for us when our lives are shaken. God is not shaken. He is faithful. And haven't you found that to be true over this past year? All the things that we've experienced as a result of the coronavirus? Aren't the promises of God's Word more precious to you through times when your world is shaken? As you rest in God's care, as you see His hand of provision and mercy, we need to remember the past works of God on behalf of His people. But notice also in this section the focus on the nations, on those who remain lost in this fallen world. That's the reference that's being made here. In this last stanza, God is pictured as sovereign ruler over the nations. It's through Jesus Christ, our King, that He reigns over this world. He will defeat all His and our enemies. The Catechism sums that up. It's in His office as King. And He is reigning and ruling for the advancement of His kingdom. He restrains evil in the world, and He directs it for His purposes. And He also advances His kingdom through the witness of His people. And as the gospel is proclaimed, what happens by the grace and power of God? People are bowing down to Jesus. They're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They're doing that from among the nations today. People of every tribe, nation, and tongue are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And in fact, now, during this period of unrest in the world, really this is a great opportunity for us to share Christ with those who are around us, with those who are troubled, to point them to the solution. Point them to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. When Christ returns, there will be perfect peace in the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah's prophecies will come to fruition. Isaiah 2, verse 4. He will judge between the nations. He will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. And never again will they learn war. In the new heavens and the new earth. And so there's a warning here. There's a warning to those who continue to reject the living God. And that comes out here in the last 10th verse. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. And while those words call God's people to quiet our hearts before Him, to renew our faith in Him. Those words are also a rebuke to those who remain hostile to God, to the raging nations. Because it's folly to persist in rebelling against the Lord of hosts. Does anybody ever win that battle? The Lord of hosts is sovereign. And raging against the Lord of hosts and attacking God's people is a futile effort. Psalm 2 gives a similar warning. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He not become angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath may soon be kindled. See, this is a warning that there's a day of judgment that's coming. God has set that day when Christ will come again as the judge of every man, and everyone will have to give an account for what he has done before the judge. But there's also, in that same verse in Psalm 2, a gracious call to salvation. The gospel is there because it concludes with these words, "Blessed are all who take refuge in Him." See, the Lord will be exalted. He will be exalted among the nations one way or the other. He will be glorified in His righteous judgment on the last day, and He will be glorified through His gracious salvation of lost sinners. And so this morning, I just say this, that if you remain in rebellion against Jesus Christ, the living God, I plead with you, as the psalmist says here, to cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving. Throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in His gracious forgiveness through the atoning sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is the promise to you? You will be saved. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, as God's redeemed people, what comfort we have in Jesus Christ. Because with Jesus as our mediator and King, He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help in trouble. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus promised that when He left this earth. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when our world seems out of control, when it seems like the foundations are being shaken, we need to sing this psalm. We need to sing Psalm 46. God is our Creator. He's our help in trouble. Our Savior is in the midst of His people. He provides refreshment. He provides protection. And our Lord and King is coming again. He will be exalted among the nations. He will. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. What a tremendous comfort this psalm is, because we know that in our natural fallen condition, we were at enmity with You. Lord, we hated You in our rebellion and our sinfulness. But God, in Your sovereign grace, You provide the ministry of reconciliation. You bring us to our knees. You open our eyes to the gospel. You show us Christ, the only Redeemer between God and man. Lord, You've brought us to repent of our sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And in that eternal relationship, we have great comfort. You are our refuge. You are our strength. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one here this morning that You would be sustaining in whatever the trials and difficulties of life are that are being faced, that You would give renewed faith in Your precious promises, in Your power, in Your provision, in Your care through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if there are any who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that You would open hearts to this wonderful gospel, to the great salvation that is found in Christ alone, because blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Lord, grant that faith today where it is needed. And Lord, strengthen us as we go forth as Your servants, that we would faithfully represent Christ to this world, that those who are in despair and lost around us may come to know the wonderful hope that is within us as we testify to our Lord and Savior. We pray in His name. Amen. Well, let's sing from this psalm now, Psalm 46, the C selection. 46C, we'll sing the three stanzas of it. And then afterwards, we'll have the benediction and then the doxology from 57B, the last two stanzas. Let's stand as we sing.